This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to the last episode of Resetting Our Beliefs. The season has just been awesome. It has really provided a great starting point for you if you've wanted to change how you believe about anything. We've talked about different layers of beliefs and our different sources of beliefs, and hopefully this has set you down a path of re-examining everything that you believe and why. This episode, we are asking the question, when are you starting? Like, when is the time to really jump into that? And so, where would you like to start with this today?
I'm going to start with achieving spiritual wisdom.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I think that, you know, for me, everybody knows I'm a Christian. I believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus, who is the Son of God, who the only way to get to the Father is through the Son.
Amen.
And then I believe that he left me a comforter to lead me into all truth,
Amen.
Which is the Holy Spirit. And I respect anybody else's belief. Those are yours. I'm just telling you what mine is. This is my podcast, and
right.
I'm just telling you what mine is. And so I want to end this whole, you know, podcast with talking about spiritual wisdom, because I think that for me, you've got to learn how to get to a place where you choose wisdom. And they say, it's amazing you say, and how does this start? I think it makes, you know, making decisions to have it. You know, far too many of us find ourselves in, you know, depleting and, just debating what is true and what is not true and how it's true. But I think that, you know, we simply have to begin to choose to start where we are. You know, there is, you know, today is a good starting day to look at your life and say, what is it that I want? What is it that I don't have that I need but don't even know how to get it? And I just believe that sometimes we have to be willing to look at, you know, trusting your own instincts. Let's talk about that as one of the spiritual wisdoms. You know, in our arena, the kingdom arena, we call it discernment. You know, we call it, you know, but I call it, you know, it's really like your instincts. It's a gut that you have that you know. I tell people, I used to say it all the time, when in the dark by yourself, and I don't care if you're sleeping in the same bed with someone, there's a part of you that nobody can see and nobody can feel but yourself. And when you're there, there's something inside of you that speaks to you so in a deep way. When the lights are out and there's nobody there but you, even if someone's laying next to you, there's a space in between you and that person and that time that only you know you. You know what it is. In the deep, you know, crevice of your own mind and heart, you can see. The Bible says no man knows the heart because the heart is wicked, but God. Nobody. So I don't even know my own heart. So when people tell me my intentions were not to hurt you, okay, those might have been your intentions, but didn't mean I didn't get hurt.
Right.
So let's just acknowledge that I got hurt because I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Don't defend yourself with saying that wasn't my intentions. Because if you tell me I hurt you, I need to acknowledge that I hurt you.
Right.
And just be okay with that.
Yeah.
And not sit and begin to defend that it wasn't my intention. I don't believe we wake up in the morning with intentions, but it doesn't mean someone didn't get hurt by it. You know, so I think we just have to begin to start really trusting our instinct. You know, true wisdom manifests itself. It just comes. It's something that happens, as I was talking about, in the dark of the night, or the day of the light of the day. It comes when you're quiet and you're sitting still. You know that you know that you know that you know. And I don't care what your intentions was. I know I do. I know when I've wronged somebody and when I've done something that I shouldn't have done. I know it. And I can justify it and make an excuse. But in the end, I know, I see it. And so it goes back to the fig leaves. We're always trying to cover ourselves up and protect ourselves and rationalize ourselves, when just be willing to just be open and naked and unashamed. just be truthful. Learn how to tell to thyself, be true.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, to thyself. And it's irrelevant that you're true to me. But we always want to put on impressions for other people. If you are honestly true to yourself, does it really matter what somebody else thinks?
Right, right. No. There's a lot of freedom in that.
There's freedom in
that. Oh, my gosh.
When I'm true to me.
Yeah.
When I know at the end of the day I did all I could with all I had.
Yeah.
And I gave all I got.
Yeah.
And I did the best I could with what I gave.
Yeah.
And if someone wasn't satisfied, oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But I'm just saying, trust your instincts.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Be willing, you know, pay attention to the small, still voice inside of you. It knows more than you think it does about most things.
Right. Some people call it intuition.
But it's that small, still
yeah.
voice, that, and it tells you stuff. It just, I don't know what, but I know now for me, I call it the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I call it my friend. I call
right.
it the one that wants to lead me into all truth,
mm.
even when I don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
Even like we talked earlier on the last episode about putting smart people around you. I have a whole group of people that I've put around me. I'm not a dummy at all, but I'm smart enough to know I can't be the only smart person at the table.
Right.
And I need smart people around me that's smarter than I am or have had more experience than I have. So they can sow into me and give me wisdom, even in my greatest instinct. I heard someone say to me in a training not too long ago that they are just so impressed with me that they know that I'm very decisive. I can make decisions quick. But to be willing to submit to saying, let me think about that. It's a discipline. I don't have to make quick decisions anymore. I can step back and let the umpire of my life guide me to say if I need to run to first or second or third, or do I need to stay at home? Meaning, be able to let the umpire of the game of my life guide me into all truth, which I call the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Trusting my instincts, trusting my trusting the Holy Spirit
yeah.
to guide me and to say, not now, go this way, do that. And not that I need all this. Sometimes it's just going into the way. I have this piece now with the Teslas. I don't know if I'm going to talk about that. Just like I had this situation with the car, the Tesla. And I remember, like, I just kept seeing them. And usually unconscious bias or a bias is when you get something in your life and you know, you've not, like when I got my car, I never really seen the car before until I got the car. Then when I got in, so when I looked it up, they said that was a call unconscious biases. Like you don't even notice this until it comes into your life. Then it's all big and all. And so I don't have a Tesla, the car Tesla. I don't have one. So I didn't understand why I kept seeing it. Why do I keep seeing this car? Why do I keep seeing it? But I know that I'm a visual learner. And so, long story short, I now know the Holy Spirit. I'm in a reset and some different things in my life all throughout my whole journey right now, whether it's my personal life, the ministry. And so one of the resets that I'm in is God is teaching me to come back to the source, and he's also teaching me that, you know, the vision that I gave you, you done got off course, and you need to come back to the original vision that I gave you here. And so sometimes we can just kind of float, you know, like in a boat, we can just kind of get off course if we don't have the right navigation system. And so I believe throughout the last 20-something years, what I worked with then was good, but what he needs me to have now is different. And so I kept seeing this car over and over and over and over. And I was like, why am I seeing this car? Because I know I'm out of debt. I'm debt-free. Ain't nothing like being debt-free. I don't want to be in debt. I want to owe man nothing but love. Oh, no man, nothing but love. That's what the Bible say. And so therefore, as much as I can, with the reason, I don't want to be in debt. So I'm not, and buying cars is a good thing, don't get me wrong, if that's what you need to do. But I think that's not a good ratio debt, you know, if you have to make certain payments, because by the time you drive off, it depreciates as soon as you drive off the lot.
Yeah. Ugh.
And so I've been fortunate by the grace of God to be a good steward. And my husband and I both, you know, have nice cars, and we bought, pay cash for them and, you know, move on throughout our lives. And so when I'm seeing this Tesla, I'm thinking, I know, Holy Spirit, you ain't asking me to go buy a Tesla. Because first of all, it looks like too much technology that I don't want to be put up, you know, that just looks. But I'm understanding that sometimes God will use things to get you out of your comfort zone. So your instincts, your Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I'm trying to now, you know, from my instincts, my third one is setting boundaries because I don't want to be in debt. So spiritual wisdom is setting a new boundary. So I'm like, okay, but I'm going to go to, you know, so one day I'm sitting there talking to someone and I see three Teslas. And then I need you to know that all these Teslas that I'm seeing is white. So it's like, why am I seeing these white Teslas? What is going on? So, of course, I look up the word, look it up. And as soon as I look up white cars, what shows up in that Google is a white Tesla. So I'm like, oh, my God, okay. So maybe he wants me to go and just go to the Tesla place. And I'm like, my first response was, I'm not buying no car. That's not going to happen. And so my daughter-in-law, she's like, I'll go with you. So me, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson, we went out there. And I was like, you know what? I pray that these people do not ask me, you know, about buying a car. Because it's just like, I'm going to have to say to these people, like, I'm not out here to buy a car. I'm not really sure why I'm out here. But I came because my instincts and the Holy Spirit is pushing me to be out here. And I'm just, I'm really not going to buy a car. So just let me be. But this was the funny part. We get out there, and when we get there, I had never really seen I seen the car in passing, but I never was close enough to see any of how, you know, they make different models, I guess. And I just never seen the model. So I get to the Tesla place, and when I get there, the first car I see on the display floor is a white Tesla. So we walk in, and I'm like, oh, God, here's a white Tesla. And so when I get there, it says, I look closely at it at this point, and on the back of it, it says Model 3. And I'm like, wow, Model 3, what does that mean? So then by this time over there, and nobody, now mind you, nobody has come, and nobody has asked me to buy a car. So the very thing I feared the most never did happen. And isn't that most of the life, the things we fear usually don't happen, or if we fear them enough, they do happen because we bring them into our lives. And so my concern was that they were going to bombard me and ask me to buy a car, which nobody did that. They welcomed me in, say hello, stay behind the desk, never came out from behind the desk. I looked over, and remember I told you all I'm in the process of resetting a lot of things in my life and getting back to the vision that God has for me. And so as I go on to look at this, I looked up, and over on another side of the wall, it said Design Center. So then you could walk over there, and you could begin to design your own car. And then you go on around, and then they have the, they call it the Energy Source Center, where they're showing you how the car is, how it gets its source and plugged in and those kind of things. So we go through this whole process, and me and my daughter-in-law, we design our own car. And as I'm doing it, I hear the Spirit of the Lord that lives in me, that still small voice, and says, Laquita, I'll never want you to think that you need to sell me, because you don't. What you need to do is model me. And if you model me, I'll draw man to me. I need you to make sure you never leave the design that I gave you for this ministry. And so He knows that I am a visual person. So he took me to the Tesla. And then he asked me a question. Do you see commercials on TV to sell Teslas? And I had to think about it. And I said, not that I can remember. And he said, because great things don't need to be sold. They need to be presented. And if you will present me in your own life, Laquita, I will draw men to you.
Amen. Wow.
And the Bible says if we lift him up, he will draw all men to us. So we don't need to be out here selling Jesus. We just need to be presenting Jesus.
Wow.
In our own personal lives, how we model ourselves, how we need to be a Model 3, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to model and design and know He's the source if we're plugged up to Him. And I feel like that whole experience for me, no one ever asked me to buy a car. Nobody ever pushed me, pressed me, and you go to other car lots and they all loan you because they're making a commission. What I've realized is that He sent me out there to remind me that if I wanted you to be like everybody else, LaCrita, I would have just let you work for Talbert House and Cat House and all the other houses. But I need you to be like me. I need you to present me the more excellent way in this world. But it needs to be from your life first, and then everything else will come. So I'm just saying that that whole experience with Tesla was that I had to choose wisdom. I had to say, yes, I'll go. I had to follow my instinct. I had to know my boundaries even before I went. I had to know that He was not sending me there to buy a car. I just knew He was sending me. Some people would have made it so like and probably 10 years ago, I would have thought I needed to buy a Tesla. But I realized that that wasn't the principle of that trip. He was trying to give me a visual of what was needed in that moment to do what needed to be done. He was giving me an opportunity to see that you're in a reset, the more excellent way, and then I'm going to show you what the more excellent way looks like. And it looks like a Tesla. They don't sell me. They don't sell Teslas. They present them. And either you choose to buy it or you don't. But they don't come on and bombard you and try to give you information. You go over to the design center, you go over to the source center, and you decide. And at the end, you're going to either walk out with one or you're going to walk away and not have it. But it's your choice. And so I think spiritual wisdom is also, you know, surrounding yourself with wisdom, with people that is wiser than you. Always look for the wiser people, people who have had experience. Sit at people's feet. Sit at the feet of people that can give you insight, that they know what it's like. We don't have to keep on. I tell my niece this all the time. You can pay full price, half price, or get it free. What does that mean? You can go in and get your own experience and pay full price. You can get at half price by asking somebody else, or you can get it free by asking somebody else to show you how it's done. Your choice. But it's your choice, your wisdom, your decision. And my niece says all the time, I'm so grateful that I've learned how to get it free, meaning it's not going to be free for me to obtain it, but it's free for me to experience what it was like for you to have gone through it. You can share it with me, and I can glean from you.
Yeah.
So it's wisdom, spiritual wisdom and beliefs is about gleaning from other people.
Mm.
And then you have learn from your own mistakes. Learn from them. A mistake is not a mistake if it becomes a teacher. And you become the student.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make it. I went to prison 5 times. So how many times did I make that mistake? At least 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was that last release that I look back at those 5 moments and realize, just like David with 5 stones, and the number 5 is grace. And, you know, I looked at that 5th time and said, you know what? I don't want to make it a 6. I don't know how not to make it a 6, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to get around some people that can teach me how to change my belief systems. Because evidently, my going to prison is a belief that I believe that I'm not valuable enough to be free. And I want to learn what it means to be free. So I had to learn from those choices and those mistakes. That's what I would say. I would just say, you know, the first time might be an accident that you do something. The second time might be a mistake. But the third time, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, remember, being wise not only means that you have established information based on facts and truth, but you are now ready to apply what you know to do something different so you don't do the same thing again. That's what it means. So I had to learn that, and I'm still learning it. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short. But it's something in us. It's so amazing to me that there's something in us that when we get to that space of that mistake again, instead of us just saying, I was wrong, or whatever, we come up with these contrary belief systems about, it's almost so difficult for us to just say, and I watch it in my 10-year-old grandson, for him to just admit that he's wrong, you ought to see the, it's just almost like he changes into the Incredible Hulk. His facial expression when he knows he's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's something in nature and natural that makes us, that creates us to not want to admit.
It's pride.
Exactly.
It's pride. And pride goes before a stumble, buddy.
And it goes, and it does. And it, all the time we know it. But
oh,
it's something in us that won't let us admit to it.
Right.
We will bring, I call it justification, rationalization, denial. We'll come up with all of them.
Yeah.
We'll call them forth and justify ourselves instead of embracing the fact that I made a mistake. I didn't use correct judgment. I didn't make the best choice. I just accept the responsibility.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult. I'm telling you, when I watch my grandson, and I'm like, this is what we look like. We all look like him, trying to come up with a conclusion of just admit that you was wrong.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's the pride that we have in us.
Yep.
It's the pride.
And it can go so far the other way, too, of always, like, beating yourself up over your mistakes to the point of where you destroy yourself, you rip yourself down, you wallow in that. I mean, it, you can go so far that way when you really just need to be in the middle and say, yeah, made a mistake.
What do I learn from it?
Where do I go? Right.
How do I change my direction from here? And how do I, you know what I mean? And what is a mistake to me may not be a mistake for you, but you got to find out when you know. I tell people again, you know when you've done what you've done, and you know when it is a gut-wrenching mistake.
Yeah.
And that you could have used a different approach.
Yeah.
We all know that. I don't care what nobody say, we all know it. And so everybody has their own, I call it measuring cup in their own lives. So you got to find the cup for you, but you know it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that one of the other wisdom is learning from other people's mistake. That's what I was saying about my niece. She's like, I can pay for it. I can pay for it full price. I can get it half price, or I can get it free. I can learn from your mistakes, Aunt Lucretia. What is your mistakes? Okay, if you did it that way and it didn't work, it probably 99.9 ain't gonna work for me. You know what I mean? So let me just not do it. You know, we were at my great niece's, you know, it's just so amazing. We were at her baby shower of the weekend, and my niece has lost her biological mom, and then she lost my mother, which, so she lost both moms. And so her daughter is having a daughter, so now it's like a full circle event. And so I gave her a necklace with a full circle on it to represent instead of my mother and her mother. And so I've kind of been a mother figure for her as well. And I said, now you're, you know, this is a full circle. You know, your daughter's having a daughter. You had a daughter, you know what I mean? Your mother had a daughter, you know what I'm saying? You had a daughter, now your daughter is having a daughter. I said, so, you know, this is going to be an eventful moment for you. I said, and yet, you know, all your life you wanted to be loved. And the greatest love God gave you were your children. I said, so you've learned so many things. And then she did the whole party. You know, and she and I had a moment, and we sit there and we remember when it was what life was like for her. And not to share her story, because that's her story to tell. And yet she and I just reminisced on how far God has brought her and how she could throw this lavish baby shower, which was simple but elegant, for her daughter. When she could remember, like she said, she learned, and she looked at me, she said, I learned from you. I learned how to take my money, save my money, invest my money, and be able to live not above my means, but within my means, and always have a rainy day account so I can afford to do these kind of things.
Yeah.
She said, but for so long, I would spend everything I had. And you taught me the greatest thing to spend is time with Christ. Spend time with yourself. Spend time with God. Spend time with reflecting on your life. and not spend all your money. And she said, today I realize I can really be a grandmother to my granddaughter in such a bigger way because I learned so many lessons from you. Mm. So I just, you know, that's wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have to choose this stuff daily. This doesn't just happen by osmosis. You got to get up when God wakes you up in the morning. You got to choose how to live every day. You know, one of the greatest pearls of spiritual wisdom is that life can ever give you is that as long as you are living, you will never have all the wisdom you need to live.
Oh, that's so good.
You will never have all the wisdom. What you learned yesterday was enough for yesterday. What you learned today will be enough for today.
Yeah.
And if you that's make good. It to tomorrow, you got to trust that tomorrow's wisdom will show up. Keep yourself aware every minute. This is what I would say to everybody. And be open to new things that life wants to teach you about your environment, about yourself, and about others. As you evolve, do so with a message that you give yourself every day. I am a student. I want to learn. And when I need to teach, I'll show up and be a teacher. But I really want to be a student to know wisdom. Because wisdom is my friend.
Yeah.
It tells me how to take the information I know and how to apply it in the situation I'm in. That's what wisdom is. That's what belief systems are. Gaining wisdom and knowing that it works for you. One of the things I'm learning is that people always ask me, when are you going to be teaching somewhere? And I said, every day I open my eyes and I inhale and exhale, I'm teaching. And every now and then I use words. But if I just show up, I'm teaching. Because I'm always a student. And I'm always willing to learn.
Wow, I hate to end this series. I really do. This has been really profound as far as like digging into something that you might have thought was impossible. Changing your beliefs, but it is possible. You just got to start.
And right? You start with where you are.
Right. That's good. All right. Thank you for joining us. Season 5 will be here before you know it, folks. It won't be long. All right. Take care. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.